They literally said, we're going to not make it. It's unconstitutional. I always kind of thought you were constitutional or you weren't constitutional, but in bankruptcy, no. So it was not constitutional. It was unconstitutional, but we said, not yet. We're going to give Congress a few months to fix it.
Well, the problem was they rendered the decision, and they didn't stay it immediately. That took a couple of days. And the problem with that was a young lawyer from El Paso, Texas, had flown to Austin for a hearing before Joe Elliott when the Western District of Texas had two bankruptcy judges, both sitting in San Antonio. And I had flown in the night before, you know, got dressed up, went to the federal courthouse, and walked in the federal courthouse and went to the courtroom where Joe Elliott normally had his hearings, and the courtroom was locked. And I'm somewhat in dismay. I'm checking my calendar.
Hard copy calendar.
Yeah, hard copy calendar, because there were no cell phones in those days. There was no electronic noticing of those days. There was only the federal marshal who, after about 10 minutes, wandered by, and I asked, well, where's Judge Elliott? And he said, oh, he didn't come in today. The something about bankruptcy judges aren't constitutional. He's not getting paid, and he said he wasn't driving up. And I said, okay. And the, at that point, the federal marshal said, yeah, you better go home. And
so Charlie went home. And by the way, forgot to mention, Buc-ee's, the first Buc-ee's, was also established in 1982. So Buc-ee's, Northern Pipeline, really what is more earth-shattering or changing for at least those of us in Texas, right? So,
and that will become more important as we go through the course of today's discussion. Fortunately, one of the nice things the Supreme Court did after about 2 days is
they made it not unconstitutional yet. So they let the judges come back.
They issued a stay and said, yes. Oh, come on back. And but, Deborah, what was it like to practice in an unconstitutional court?
We all pretended it was fine while we waited for Congress to do something over the next 2 years. I mean, seriously, I don't know anyone who actually would have said to a judge, well, you can't do what you're doing, Judge. You're unconstitutional. So we just pretended.
Hold it. 2 years?
Oh, yeah. It took Congress 2 years.
Two years?
2 years. We pretended. We pretended for 2 years that we had something that we could deal something with.
And what did we do?
Oh, gosh.
Or what did Congress do?
What did Congress do?
They solved the problem forever, right?
Yeah, because Congress knows how to do that, don't they? They know how to solve things forever. So we ended up with the Bankruptcy Reform Act of 1984, BAFTA. What did BAFTA do? Well, this was the legislative response to Northern Pipeline. It created, because it's so much fun, bankruptcy judges became a unit of the district court, therefore their powers would not exceed the district court because they were a unit of the district court. Circuit courts of appeal appoint the bankruptcy judges. They're not appointed for life. They solve that one. And the district court can refer things to the bankruptcy court, but they can always pull it back. So this was a jurisdictional fix. It's not had any issues since they did that. And then we had the core. Remember, it was core, non-core, and all of a sudden we're kind of going, core? Core? What's core? Like apples? And we have now spent the next almost 20, 30-something years searching for the core when people raise it periodically. And we've got Congress helping us in bankruptcy over and over and over again, and we should have asked them to stop. But that's why we have this conference, by the way, because we would come here and say, what does the statute mean? And it's like, well, I don't know, but we all felt together. We all, none of us knew what it really meant, you know? And every year it'd be something different. We'd have a different interpretation on what it meant. But that's why we would come to this conference and feel with our brethren equally confused.
And what was going on during this period of time in Texas?
Nothing?
No. Okay. I think there was something going on.
No. Things were falling down.
Well, yeah, things did start falling down. And what you saw in the 80s was actually followed something that happened in the 70s, right. late 70s, a couple of things happened that had a major and dramatic impact upon the economy in the state of Texas. The Iranian hostage crisis immediately put in political risk into the price of oil. So all of a sudden, West Texas independent producers discovered that, well, gee, if oil is selling at that much, maybe it'll be we could be successful in drilling again. And drill they did. We saw a boom in the Texas oil and gas industry in the late 70s and into the early 80s.
Creating another pattern that maybe some of you might recognize. Prices go up, drills get done.
So we had booming oil, which also led to booming real estate,
yep.
and booming banks. Banks in Texas were making so much money because interest rates were booming. Mm-hmm. The typical commercial interest rate to a oil and gas